Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Well, whatever plagued Virginia the other night against Colorado State rubbed off on the Rams because CSU was terrible yesterday in their 56-44 first round loss to Texas. CSU shooting 29%.
Wow.
17 of 58.
Well, they were better than Virginia. Virginia was like at 22%.
Here's how bad it was. CSU had more turnovers in the game than they had buckets. And Nico Medved, the coach, acknowledging what we all saw just didn't play well enough.
We turned the ball over too much, and we couldn't get the ball to go in the basket enough.
That's about all you need to know about
that's
this.
That sums up the game. I mean, concise, right on point. Good job, Nico.
Well, at least as you were bringing up the possibility yesterday, I guess they don't have to worry about losing Nico Medved anytime soon.
Wow. That feels like a shot.
At you.
No.
Well, yeah.
Well, as you were, mean at me, you're the one saying.
Well, you were saying that, well, geez, if they have success, if they win this game, you know, some big power school is going to come calling.
You don't think a power school is going to come calling because they lost to Texas?
Well, let's just say it diminishes the odds quite a bit, I would say.
Like how much? If you were an odds maker. So they win at Texas, what would the odds have been that a big school come calling versus now?
Oh,
is it like the thing we talked about yesterday, the Broncos are the 31st, rated as the 31st roster. They were 11th, so Russ leaving.
Okay, so let's say going into this tournament that the odds of him leaving CSU were like at 40%.
Okay.
Had they beaten Texas, they would have jumped up to like 60. Now I think they go back down to like 40.
But you're saying they're back right to where they were as they got into the tournament.
Into the tournament, yes. Which means
still a good, there's still odds that the phone's going to ring.
Yes, but I would say less than 50-50.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Second down.
Nuggets taking care of business as they beat the New York Knickerbockers 113-103. And definitely the story in this one, one of the biggest stories since the All-Star break, has been the play of Michael Porter Jr., who continues his hot shooting as he had a game-high 31 points for the Nuggets.
It was good to get a little mental break, but yeah, I switched a couple other things that I would contribute more to my recent stretch. Other than just going to Cabo, I switched a couple other things up. But Cabo was a great break. I needed it for sure.
So he went away for the All-Star break, and he's been not a completely different player, but certainly a more consistent player since he got back from the break.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Malone was joking after the game. He's like, hey, I told Michael, anytime he wants to go to Cabo, my treat, if this is what it's going to take. But he said, no, it wasn't. Wasn't just going away to Cabo. He's done some other things. Care to speculate on what those other things are? He was asked to elaborate, but he would not. Kept to himself.
I just think he's done. I just think he's become more of a complete player. He does, like, he just doesn't have to stand around on the 3-point line and wait for somebody to kick it out to him and take a shot. He's more involved. He's getting to the rim. He's doing things that we've talked about.
But what led to that, though? Did he sit on the beach, stare and watch the sun go down and say, you know what? I've got too much potential. I've got too much talent.
Well,
I need to let it rip more, whatever.
Just juxtapose the way he speaks. Like, a lot of you guys said this. I'm just going to let you guys talk about whether I'm good or not or whether I've improved or not. You know, like the way he speaks versus the way Jerry Jeudy speaks. And what's different? One guy feels to me like he took responsibility for his game and he put the work in. The other guy is more worried about the bag. So, I mean, you cannot tell me that Michael Porter Jr. has not heard the criticisms. He accepted them for what they are, and he went to work. As opposed to tweeting out, well, I guess I got my my exercise in. I get my wind sprints in. I got Nothing's my fault. I don't have to work on anything. I run great routes. I've got quick feet. By the way, you know what a knickerbocker is?
No, I know it's from, it's the original nickname of the Knicks. I don't know if people know that, but it is. So
do you know where it comes from?
No, I do not.
The origin of knickerbocker.
I do not know. So why are they, why were they once called the Knickerbockers and now they're the Knicks? What's the origin?
The Knickerbocker is the early Dutch settlers in New York City.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Huh. They were called Knickerbockers. Early Dutch.
Huh.
I don't trust the Dutch.
More you know. Well, wooden shoes and everything. That's hard to take those seriously.
Tiny hands. Darn.
Third down.
Big belief in windmills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Staying with the Nuggets. Yeah, 13-2 for Michael Malone's team since the All-Star break.
We're playing at a high level, and the challenge is with 12 to go. Can we continue to keep this up and stay healthy while doing so? But I think our players deserve so much credit for their mindset and approach every single night.
Yeah, amen. If you look around the rest of the Western Conference especially, teams are just kind of, it seems like everybody else, maybe save for Oklahoma City, but it seems like everybody else is just get the season over with, get into the playoffs, get into the play-in tournament. That's what we're destined for. And let's get ready for the playoffs with 13, 14 games left. Whereas the Nuggets are just, you could just tell, they're just full pedal to the metal.
Okay, we picked during the All-Star break our records.
27 games left.
I went 21-6.
Yep.
You went 20-7.
Yep.
Are you ready to revise those numbers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not going to lose five more games between now and the end of the season. No. So they're 13-2 with, 12 games left by our math there?
Is that right?
So, yeah, I think you're looking more at like 23-4 for those final 27?
Yeah. That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
22-5 at the, worst?
Maybe we drop one late because they really just, they've got the number one seed locked up so they can sit everybody before the playoffs. Yeah, that's what it feels like to me.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Meanwhile, the Avalanche, this has been a nice schedule. The schedule has really, really worked out, and I think it's a big factor in what we're seeing right now because not only did they have a couple of days off before, well, right after the trade deadline before they started incorporating their guys. Then they get that chance to go out on the road. Everybody bonds over the course of a four-game road trip. And now they're back home, and they've had a little break with playing on Tuesday, but then a couple of days off, and now they play Columbus. First of a five-game homestand for the Avalanche. They're going to be home now for the rest of the month. And Columbus, a very bad Columbus team, comes in tonight. So that should be a name-your-score win for the Avs, who should be running their winning streak to a season high 8 after tonight.
Do you know what where the word avalanche comes from?
No, Mark. What's the origin of the word avalanche?
It's French.
It's French?
Yeah, avalanche is French.
Meaning what?
It means a white wave.
You.
Wow. Yeah, I just made that.
Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad.
I had you.
That's not bad.
I had you.
I know. That's not bad.
You're like, wait a minute.
Mademoiselle Hodgkins would be like,
yeah.
Trebien, Mark, Trebien.
It might be true.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Is it just me Friday giving you those chances to get those hot sports opinions? Nuggets, Avs. Hey, Rockies fans? Anybody? Anybody? We're 1 week away from the start of the season. Anybody? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Getting loose on a Friday morning with you.
Beautiful morning.
Nice weather.
Man, it was gorgeous yesterday afternoon.
Wasn't it?
Man.
Wasn't it?
Oh, got some great outdoor work done. I had a few. Did you have branches? Any branches on the big snowfall breaking your yard?
No, we don't. I don't have a lot of trees in my yard, which is.
I even got out and shook the trees, but by the time we came here and did the show, and I got back to the house, I had a couple of broken branches, and then I found more yesterday, so I cut them all up, and you know.
So while you were out cutting branches, I like what Fever did. Fever, you want to share with everyone what your day was? I respect this. This sounds good. As soon as I heard this, I went, ooh.
This sounds nice.
I've got to try this. What'd you do?
Yeah, it was so nice out and nicer than we've had in a while. I had to go get a six-pack and a couple cigars.
Sat on your patio, right?
Yep, spent a couple hours on the back patio.
It's kind of nice. I can't do cigars. I can't even be around. Cigar smoke just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Stoke is a big cigar guy. Out on the golf course, he loves his cigar out of the golf course.
I cannot.
Even has the little holder for it so that, you know, he's getting ready to go putt. He'll just put it down like in a little stand.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I don't do that. I don't do cigars.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Every once in a while. Maybe twice a year.
You know what I do like to do, though? Instead of sitting out drinking a six-pack and smoking cigars, I like to sun my yarbles. Increases your testosterone. You know that, right? So I get on the porch.
It's a scientific fact.
It is. I get on the porch. I just pull those bad boys out of my boxers and just let those things get some sun.
Well, we are getting into yarble sunning time.
Yeah. I mean, on my back porch in the evenings.
Yeah.
I just sit down.
Oh, your poor neighbors. Your poor neighbors.
No, you can't really. I got enough foliage that. I mean, in the yard, not
in
the
yard.
The
I was going to say,
not on my
is
yard.
Is that
clothes.
What you call it?
Yeah,
is
I don't
that
know.
What we're calling it now?
No.
Foliage?
I mean, I haven't. I didn't go full Nick Ferguson on it. But in the yard, I got enough.
All right.
Yeah, it increases your testosterone like 200%.
Okay, I don't think that's true. Is there a doctor out there that can refute that?
Sun
please?
On your yarbles?
Sun on your yarbles?
Oh, yes. Well, you want to talk about testosterone enhancement.
Okay. Well, I think it might be.
I mean, look at me.
I think it might be better to go to Rocky Mountain
look at
Men's
me.
Clinic.
Well, look
hey,
at me.
Look at you. Yeah, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
All that sunning of the yarbles. Is it just me, Friday? Here we go. Is it just me or is Dion tone deaf and Mark will not say it?
Tone deaf about what?
It was Dion tone deaf. Like about how he comes across?
Yeah, well,
he sounds?
Give me an example of him being tone deaf. What has he said that's been tone deaf?
Like, if you want to say that he's all bluster, no substance, okay, that's fair.
What do you think he does? I would ask the texter. What do you think he does?
What do you mean?
I mean, what do you think, like, as a coach, what do you think he does?
Oh, as an actual coach?
Yeah, do you think he's out there saying, hey, I want this technique, and I want this technique on offense, and I want to run, you know, this concept on, do you think he's out there doing that? Or do you think he's out there lending his expertise from a philosophical standpoint? This is what I want to be on offense, make it happen. This is what I want to be on defense, make it happen. He may pull a DB aside. He may do some coaching on that. He may have some thoughts on, you know, on how to stop a spread attack, you know, like all those things. But he's a great delegator of responsibility, and he is the face of CU. And I'd argue he's the face of CU as a university, not as a football coach.
Oh, you're right on both accounts. I'd keep going. He's the face of college football right now.
Yeah. So
to me, I think he's the face of what is new, what is all about college sports now, NIL, transfer portal,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
he's the face of all that.
Absolutely, face of the NIL. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think the texter has, like, he's not Nick Saban. And he'll tell you he's not Nick Saban.
Well.
But what he does is he has been, I mean, Rick George won the Athletic Director of the Year. Do you think it's because of Rick George just does unbelievable work at CU? No, because he did unbelievable work of having the foresight to hire Deion Sanders.
Well, this texter, I've gotten a lot of texts from this person who doesn't buy Deion's act. I mean, he thinks it's an act. And, well, if it's an act, well, then Deion was on top of his game the other day.
The parents, I love them. and I want to show them Boulder. I want them to see this and how beautiful it is and why I'm so eager and how much I love this city and this state and this team. I want them to see that because guess what? That's where the kid is coming. Kid coming here.
Mm.
Going there is just showcase for me. That's just blowing money. It's blowing a bag. Don't make sense. And I can't do the things other coaches can do. You know why? I'm Coach Pratt.
And
you know what? The kids, he coming. They coming. The
kids are coming. And that last line is what I know drives this texter and probably others crazy. Because in their mind, it's all talk, it's all bluster, it's all bravado, and what have you done to back it up? And that, and you know what? That's fair. And starting this year, he better deliver. He better deliver. Because otherwise, all the, you know why? I'm Coach Prime. Then you look silly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are exposed for being all talk, no action. So the beautiful thing of all this is for those of us, like myself, I think for you as well, who love what Deion Sanders is doing, we should be validated this year. For those of you who don't buy his act, think it's all an act, well, guess what? Lay in the weeds, and if they don't deliver this year, you're going to get the last laugh.
Yeah, keep receipts and then see what happens.
Exactly, yeah.
I just think, I think it's awesome. I mean, ultimately, remember, CU, when he took over, was the worst, rated as the worst or one of top three worst teams in college football.
Mm-hmm.
He takes over. As soon as he gets here, they're playing the spring game on ESPN. Yeah. They're the showcase spring game. Are you kidding me?
Put it this way. Let's put it in ways that everybody can understand. All of you out there have a particular school that you root for.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you right now, if I gave you the choice of switching out your current football coach with Deion, wouldn't jump at it? How many of you would not jump?
Yeah, I would not trade. I would not trade Coach Eck. Coach Eck is.
Who's Coach Eck? The Idaho guy?
Come on, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Coach Eck.
Eck. Who's Coach Eck?
The Idaho Vandal coach.
What's his full name?
E-C-K is his last name.
What's his full name?
Coach Eck?
Coach Eck.
Yeah, it's Coach. Coach Eck. Come on, everybody knows that.
He's quickly Googling it.
No, why would I call him anything but Coach? What is Coach's first name?
Jason?
Oh, yeah, Jason.
Jason Eck?
Yeah.
You sure it's Eck? That's his last name?
ECK, yeah.
It's not like Jason Eckersley or something like that?
No, I just call him Coach. Okay. What up, Coach?
All right. But seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Syracuse
guy. Coach Eck has done a great job.
I'm a Syracuse guy. I don't even know who they got a new coach. I would take Deion in a heartbeat. CSU, in a heartbeat. You would dump Jay Norvell for Deion Sanders in a heartbeat. Nebraska, you would dump Matt Rhule in a heartbeat for Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah, there's only a Coach Eck and a handful of others that you wouldn't do it with.
He's on a short list. That's right. It's Coach Eck and everybody else. Coming up, we will get into what's trending. A lot more from the Nuggets win. What has gotten into Michael Porter Jr. since the All-Star break? And Russ takes the L on the way out of town. We'll explain next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Nuggets keep rolling. 113-100 over the Knicks, the Knickerbockers. Dutch origin in New York City.
Yes, early Dutch settlers.
Michael Porter Jr. continues to be on a roll since the All-Star break as he went to Cabo. Michael Malone joking, hey, that's what it's going to take. I'll spring for a Cabo vacation anytime he wants to go. But he's been playing really well. Nuggets been playing well. 13-2 since the All-Star break. MPJ on where his game has been growing the most.
It's not like I'm consciously doing it. I think the more games you play in the league, you just grow. So I don't think you as a player really notice a lot of the growth. You're just trying to get better every day and read the game. And I think the game slows down. So that's what I attribute it to.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. The game slows down. Did you experience that? Is that something that happens for everybody? If you're going to have a long career, do you reach that moment where that aha moment where the game slows down? And does it literally slow down?
No, I wouldn't say that it literally slows down. I just think you grow accustomed to the pace. So the game is still fast, but for you, you're accustomed to it. You're calloused to a certain extent. Like, I just remember the difference between my first year and second year in the NFL in training, like in minicamp. The first time I went to minicamp, I was in shock. Like, we're doing full scale, full contact one-on-ones and just helmets. And it was brutal. And I'm like, oh man, this is different, right? You're not ready for it. By the time I rolled into my second year, you're ready. You're prepared for it. You're used to it. It's what you do. So it doesn't shock you anymore. So those are the things. Like, I think the game just for you, you grow accustomed to it. You understand where you need to apply effort or pressure, where you need to back off, like how you can, so to speak, cheat the game to make it easier for you.
Michael Malone certainly noticing.
Just the ability to put the ball on the floor, operate in traffic, and then go up and finish. That's to me is the, as you mentioned, 13 and 16, only took six threes, and all the other ones were right at the rim, and he was finishing at a very high percentage.
Hey, look, I was saying this and feeling this way even before he got on this post-All-Star break roll, but if this is what you're going to get from him,
mm-hmm.
consistently in the playoffs, along with Murray, along with Joker and everybody else, I got to go full big Bill Paxton again on you. Game over, man.
Yeah.
Game over.
Right. If that guy can figure out consistent, because what I always said is, like, when he's not knocking down shots, then he becomes a non-factor. You almost have to carry him. Well, what do we always talk about? Great scorers find a way to score. They get to the free throw line. They get to the 10. You know, they get dunks. What, like when their shot's not going down, they still, at the end of the day, end up with 24 points.
Right.
Yesterday, 9 of his 31 came from the three-point line. Everything else was a bunny.
Right.
It was a dunk or a layup or, I mean, he was there.
Well, that's why when he would be struggling, you know, his supporters would go out of the way. Well, you know, look at all the other ways he's helping the game. Look at the rebounds. Look at the way he's getting on the floor. And I'm like, come on. You're working way too hard to try to prop this guy up. He's here to score. That's what makes him unique. That's what makes him potentially a star in this league. Potentially is his ability to score in a way that's almost effortless when he has it going. So that's at times what was missing. That's at times what was inconsistent. But when he's doing it like he's doing it now, you recognize this is what makes this guy unique. Stop with all the, you know, hey, he's really making an effort to help out on defense. Who cares? That's not what will make this guy unique. What we're seeing right now with the way that he's effortlessly scoring, that's what can make him unique.
More likely to get voted to their first All-Star game next year.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
MPJ or Murray?
Still Murray. If Murray does what I anticipate him doing
in the playoffs,
in the course of winning another championship, then he will have been to the point where, okay, it's time to get him into an All-Star game as well.
Okay.
Not that I put that much on. The players put far more concern on going to an All-Star game than I do, but if it is that important, then I would think if he does what he's going to do in the playoffs, then yeah, he should be able to break through and get that first All-Star game appearance. Although, I don't know. I kind of like it the way it's going because it just makes the Jokic legend even more unbelievable that he's never played with an All-Star.
Right.
Tough end of the season for CSU as they lose 56-44. shooting a frigid 17 of 58, 29%. They had more turnovers than they had made field goals. But at the end of the day, Nico Medved still proud of his team.
I know it stings to go out this way, but man, this team accomplished a ton this year when you look back on it and everything that they've done, and they did get to the tournament and we did win when we get here. And as time goes by, you know, they'll be able to understand that even more, but today's not that day.
Yeah, you hate going out playing that way. You know, yeah. get beat. But, you know, to the point where, you know, we're watching that first half especially, like, whoa, man. All the jokes we were making about Virginia, I take back now.
Yeah, that
this was even worse.
Yeah, you got some Virginia on you.
Yes.
That was bad.
They caught
Virginia flu.
Yeah, they caught Virginia-itis.
They got the
bad
Cavalier flu. Jeez. Boy, they were just bad. What's worse, them or Dolchich's hamstring?
Oh,
terrible.
Terrible.
Both of them terrible.
Just terrible.
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 Well, Russell Wilson, take that L on the way out of town. I'm talking about the real estate L. So the mansion that he bought for a celebrated $26 million with the 12 bathrooms, he and Sierra sold it at a loss. $21.6 million. About $4.5 million. Don't worry, the Broncos are paying for it. Broncos are paying for everything right now.
It was nice to get back to his, you know, home in San Diego where he could get some video shot. The all important workout videos.
By the way, yeah. based on what we heard yesterday, at least what one NFL executive thinks, he better be renting, not buying in Pittsburgh for the time being. The report yesterday that one NFL exec says yeah. It wouldn't surprise him if Russ got cut in training camp.
Maybe the most beautiful city, Pittsburgh, to drive into from the airport.
Yeah, you've mentioned that.
You drive through this tunnel that's carved right out of a mountain. I can't remember what the tunnel is. Fort something or other tunnel. And it's just like they got...
Call it Fort Allegheny or something.
Yeah.
When in doubt, call it the Allegheny.
Yeah. And pull out, and just nothing but lit up bridges in the city. Just right, bam, right there. Bam, Mike, right there. There's over 400 bridges in Pittsburgh.
$21.6 million go a long way in Pittsburgh for real estate? I would suspect.
Oh, yeah.
I would suspect.
You get yourself a nice blue-collar hamlet.
That'll do it for what is a trending. Up next, it's an Is It Just Me Friday on a Friday, 7:40. This around this time, this is where Mark gets loose. And since he was up until about midnight last night, couldn't sleep, Punchy Mark will take over next. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Here we go. It's a Friday, beautiful morning. The weekend is on tap. Hope you have a great weekend planned. A lot of college hoops. Get on outside, enjoy it. I know it's going to turn a little bit by the end of the weekend, but start of the week is great. I'll be up at Maristar Blackhawk tonight watching the hoops. Come on by, hang out with me. And let's get loose on a Friday. Is It Just Me? Give you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest heading off into the weekend. We want opinion. We want humor. We want snark. Here's what and you're not alone. It's not just you. Is it just me or... are we guilty of starting to take Nikola Jokic for granted? I don't take him for granted. I recognize that what we're watching is special. Mm-hmm. It's unique. We'll never see it again. Not only here, but probably maybe anywhere around the league. But I do agree with the texter that there is an element of sort of just kind of taking the unbelievable now as routine. Mark, last night he goes out. 30 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists. And let's face it, for most of us, our reaction is, yep, there's Jokic doing his thing.
Right.
Do you realize how it would be received if a player in L.A. or New York or Boston, any of those... you know, big city, big markets, had a guy who was routinely doing and putting up the numbers that Jokic puts up, there is an element of acceptance about what he does that I hope we're careful that we don't just take it for granted. Because he is making the sublime routine.
I've always said this about him. The end of the day, you go and you look at the stat line after you've watched the game, and I'm always blown away. Like, he had 17 rebounds? He had 36? He had 12 assists? Like, you're always, like, I'm almost shocked when I look at a box score and he doesn't have a triple-double. I've just grown.
The other day, he had, like, a couple of assists.
Yeah, like, two assists. You're like, what happened?
What happened?
Right.
Where'd that come from?
He is. It just has become such an unbelievably high standard that we have grown accustomed to the standard. I mean, the standard is the standard.
Right.
And it is. Did you see the assist he had on the dunk to Aaron Gordon last night? Just eyes in the back of his. Yep. Just knows where players are going to be. It is just. He's magician-like. Wizard.
Another one. Is it just me? Is it just me, or is Vegas our biggest problem in the West? Well, Jared Bednar is on record this week as saying he doesn't really want anything to do with Vegas in the first round.
It's a matchup deal.
And as of right now, so that's a great question. Let me toss that out to Avalanche fans. Do you want the Avalanche to go after the first seed, top seed in the West, home ice throughout the Western Conference playoffs, if it means playing Vegas in the first round?
What's the old, there's an old boxing, is it idiom? Is that a?
Axiom.
Axiom?
I think it's axiom.
What's idiom? What's the difference?
I don't know what an idiom is right now. I could not for the life of me tell you what an idiom is. But an axiom is like, yeah, it's a...
like an old saying,
yeah.
Right? Styles make fights?
Yes.
That's what that feels like. There are just certain matchups that are just tough matchups. Your style versus their style. Your personnel versus their personnel.
Well, and there's also... Because part of me is like, all right, bring them on. Because they're the defending Stanley Cup champs, but... we know how difficult it is to defend, to repeat. Although I think the Nuggets are going to squash that, but we're talking hockey. And there's been an element of Vegas that either there is something wrong and there's a reason why they are limping to the finish line here, barely holding on to a playoff spot, or they're uber dangerous because they know exactly who and what they are. They've stashed some guys on long-term injured reserve. They'll get them back for the playoffs in theory, and they'll flip the switch. So that's the part of Vegas that having not following them closely day after day, I don't know yet what they are. Because if they're a team that's just, they are what their record says they are, then it's like, bring them on. Be great. Be awesome to knock out Vegas in the first round. Unless you feel that there is that element of them just sort of laying in the weeds and waiting to flip the switch for the playoffs. I can't wait for the long regular season to be over, and then they become dangerous. Then if that's the case, I don't know if I want to deal with them in the first round.
Yeah.
Let somebody else have that headache.
Just the fact that Bednar would address it.
That kind of surprised me a little bit.
I
don't know if we want them.
And there have been certain teams in the course of my NFL career that you're just like, damn. And they may not even be very good, but you just know they're going to give you fits. It's their style. It's their scheme. It's the matchup of their players playing that style or scheme.
But that said, all that said, Mark, let's be honest. If we're saying we don't want to get the number one seed in the West because we don't want to play this team that's seeded eighth, then that shows that we don't really have a whole lot of faith in these guys' ability to win a cup, right? So my final answer? Final answer. Yes, final answer. Mm-hmm. Bring them on.
Idiom.
Bring them on. Because if the Avs are what we think they are or could be, it won't matter if they play Vegas in the first
round. Sure. All right, idiom. I've got a definition from our own Google.
All right.
A group of words established by usage as having meaning not deductible. Was it deductible? Is that right? From those of the individual words. Raining cats or dogs. That would be an idiom.
Okay.
Not quite sure what that meant.
I think I'm more confused than when we began this exercise.
Whoever this guy is smarter than me. That's for sure.
How about we just go with
this? Ask him.
How about you both are a couple of idioms, and let's leave it at that. Is it just me, or are we taking this Nathan McKinnon season for granted? No. That's a big difference. Because there is that freshness to what McKinnon's doing as he goes about trying to win his first MVP that there is an every night amazement about what McKinnon's doing.
Well, yeah,
like we're really in the here and now with McKinnon where there is probably, unfortunately, a little bit of, ho-hum, another triple-double for Nikola Jokic. Maybe at some point we get like that with McKinnon. I don't think we're
there now. The other thing is, okay, now Jokic is back in his rightful place. He'll win the MVP again like he should have last year. This should be his fourth. Should be the opportunity to win four in a row right now, right? But his third overall, that's almost a foregone conclusion. With McKinnon, there's still that, is he going to ascend to his rightful place as the Hart Trophy winner?
Right.
Or are they going to screw him and give it to some
Canadian
guy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he gets the benefit because he plays in Colorado. Of Canadian status. What town is he from? Is he in Nova Scotia somewhere? Or
Halifax.
Is that?
That's
like
Canada Light.
See, that's the problem. They don't like Canada Light over there.
This is actually the text of the day. Texter, winner, winner, chicken dinner. You're right. Wouldn't you expect Joker to have eyes in the back of his head if he's had a history of wrestling bears?
That's a great point. How has Circus Club made Jokic a better player? Eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah, that's right.
Just batting, it's easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if I didn't know where a grizzly was coming from, I'd have eyes in the back of my head.
If they did it like they did in the Coliseum in whatever that movie was, where are you not entertained? Where all of a sudden there's just trap doors that open up and grizzlies jump out.
This is ridiculous.
here we go. I knew we'd get one of these. Okay. I hope this is being sarcastic, but I doubt it regarding our Vegas conversation. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best.
Wouldn't they be sliding in as the 8 seed?
Well, if the idea is that you're nervous about playing them, you shouldn't be.
Yeah, I want them at their best.
No way.
I want them at their best so I can make sure that my championship isn't tainted.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, no way. Path of least resistance, baby.
Mm-hmm.
No problem with it. Line them up. Line up them tomato cans. I'm fine with it.
Oh, I am too.
Path of least resistance. I'm not going to ever apologize if I didn't have to go through the best. Remember, it was...
Hell, last year.
Last year with the Nuggets.
You got to beat the 8 seed.
Right. And you know what? You can get a little bit of mileage out of that in the immediacy of the championship and a little bit after. You can have some people take some little pot shots. Mm-hmm. Fine. But you know what? As time goes by, everybody forgets that stuff. And all they remember is that you're the champ. So, hey, if your path gets made easier... And you get to avoid, I mean, like, for example, you guys probably don't win a second straight championship if you have to play Minnesota instead of Atlanta. So path of least resistance, baby.
Oh, you
be thankful for that.
You hot snot. I wasn't mad about it. I wasn't like, dang, I really wanted Minnesota.
Was that actually, because you guys played second that day. Were you even aware before you went out to play that Minnesota had lost? I'm just curious. Was that any kind of something that came up? Like, hey, did you guys see Minnesota lost? That idea that maybe go take care of business today and our path just got easier?
I think I think, like, when that game probably goes to an end, you're out warming up. So you're not really paying attention to it. And then you get in the locker room and somebody says something about the fact that, hey, man, Atlanta just beat Minnesota. And you're like, whoa. But, yeah, you're so focused on the task at hand. So, yeah, it definitely floats around. You know, you hear it for a second, but you're not like, woo, we just got an easier bet. Like, you got to win this game that you're playing. And at that point, you know, the Jets were a damn good team coached by Bill Parcells.
Let's see. One more here. Okay, so the idioms things that we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's an expression of words that don't actually mean what it says. Raining cats and dogs, but it's not actually raining literal cats and dogs. Another one. You're on my nerves, but you can't actually be on my nerves. So I guess that's an idiom.
Why can't you be on my nerves?
Well, you know, you can't be on my raw, exposed nerves. Great one. Pay attention. Your head's up in the clouds. No, they're not in the clouds.
What if you're really, really tall? Or you're on a mountain?
You were laughing. Did you guys dupe me? Or were you right? Oh, okay. That's right.
Head in the clouds.
I was just saying I'm a genius, that's all.
Oh, did you come up with that one?
Yeah.
Oh, way to go, Fever.
That is good.
Apparently smoking cigars and drinking Sixers on the patio yesterday gave you some newfound perspective.
Now I got to come up with an idiom. So now
Mark's like, I'm going to embrace the challenge.
Yes.
I'm going to come up with an idiom
because
I'm a smart boy.
Rain cats and dogs.
Go ahead. Come up with one. Since now this is your reason to be.
Got a fever for more cowbell.
No.
No.
Come on. You can do it. You can do it.
Come on.